So Kim Kardashian has a house here. Elvis Presley honeymooned here. And did you know, Emma?
Go on. Have you got another fun fact for
yes,
me?
Yes, I do. I do. Buckle in. did you know that the population of Palm Springs goes up by 100% in the winter months, Emma?
Why would that be, Dean?
Because it's so goddamn hot. It's Emma and Dean coming to you from Greater Palm Springs on our California road trip. What do you make of the views, Emma?
Do you know what? I am so excited about this part of the trip. I've heard so much about Palm Springs. It is stunning. It really is like an oasis in the desert. 9 cities, 1 oasis. So we're staying in actual Palm Springs, but there are 8 other cities around here. And as we've driven in, the views are stunning. There's so many palm trees.
There really are. There really, really
and then
are.
And there's just these imposing mountains all the way around. Like, the city is quite flat, but then surrounding us are these imposing mountains and then clear blue skies above and loads of bougainvillea, which I absolutely love.
What is quite nice as well, actually, is the architecture. Just as we're driving through, no two houses are the same. And you can really see why Palm Springs was so appealing to so many celebrities, movie directors and actors, because it is such a glamorous part of the world. And what's really nice, actually, is one of the first flags that we saw as we drive down the main strip here was a rainbow flag.
That was nice and welcoming, wasn't it?
It was lovely. There's no place like home.
So a lot of Hollywood stayed here, didn't they, really, back in the day, back in the heyday?
They did.
The reason for that is apparently there was this two-hour rule.
Mm-hmm.
So if they always had to be, once the film had finished, within 2 hours of Hollywood so they could get back and do a reshoot. So instead of going anywhere else, they decided, oh, Palm Springs, that would be a nice place to just go and chill out. So the likes of, well, in fact, a lot of the road names are named after people like Bob Hope and Marilyn Monroe used to stay here. Who didn't used to stay here?
Yes, exactly. And it's quite nice, actually, because we've sort of stayed in a few different types of hotels. So in Newport Beach, we stayed at the Marriott, which is quite luxurious. Then in San Diego, we stayed at the Lafayette, which is proper American. But here in Palm Springs, we're staying at a hotel called the Sagario. Did I say that right? Sagario. We're getting lots of nods from the producers here. Sagario Hotel, which, Emma, is possibly one of the most colourful hotels that we'll ever stay in.
It's basically like staying in a rainbow, and in the middle is this centrepiece, which is a gorgeous swimming pool where they spray mist over you because it is 40 degrees here today.
It's very hot.
Do you want a little fun fact relating to swimming pools?
Oh, you're doing a fun fact as well?
Yes, I'm going to do a fun
fact. Brilliant, brilliant. Go ahead.
Do you know that in Palm Springs, in Greater Palm Springs, there are 50,000 swimming pools, making it the swimming pool capital? More swimming pools per capita than anywhere else in America.
Shall I leave you with a fun fact?
Go on then.
Go on then. Now we're playing fun fact tennis. Did you know that there are 120 golf courses in Palm Springs, and we won't see one of them? Stay tuned, because it is literally like we've stepped into a spring break of an American rom-com. Let's get those red cups out. Let's don our bikinis, because Palm Springs, we are in you.
It's Emma and Dean in South California. Now, previously, when we were in San Diego, I was having my breakfast and I was reading a magazine, and there was a double page spread on Palm Springs, and I opened it up and there was this stunning picture, the most beautiful pool, the most beautiful rainbow coloured hotel, and then the palm trees and the mountains behind. And we're only blooming here. It's the Saguaro Hotel in Palm Springs.
We've just checked into the world's most colourful, most vibrant and most exciting hotel that I've ever been in. The doors opened and we were stepped into what felt like spring break. There are people walking around in their bikinis, drinking from red cups. There's the girls, there's the boys. And someone said, "Oh my God, Brittany, hurry up." And I was like, it's official. It's official. So we've got Erin Weinstock with us. Erin, I mean, this is just like, must be like the best job ever for you. Tell us what you do.
It's totally the best job ever. I'm the brand director for the Saguaro Hotels, this one in Palm Springs, and we have one in Scottsdale as well. And basically, everything that you see or touch or hear inside of the hotel is what I do.
What's your inspiration behind this, apart from rainbow-colored mayhem?
Well, I mean, that's just the result, pretty much. But we just want to have uncomplicated fun. That's our goal. We want to make things really easy for people. We're all about tacos and margaritas and bringing, you know, sunlight and brightness to everyone.
Well, it is very significant, isn't it, that every single room is a different color, and it does the whole theme is a rainbow, basically. Why is that? Why has that been chosen?
Well, so the architects behind the hotel, they actually chose each color to go back to a specific desert wildflower from the nearby desert.
Oh, okay.
And basically what their goal was... they say that people come to the desert seeking light, and so the way that they've arranged the colors is supposed to, bring light.
Ah, I kind of get that. I can imagine you'd probably see this hotel from space if you look closely enough.
Sorry, did we mention that we're actually stood in the pool?
Oh, yeah.
And Dean hasn't even got his bathers on yet. I hope he's not putting you off, stood there in his pants.
I haven't even checked in yet, so I'm like, right, get the shorts off, get the shorts off, get in the pool.
I get the feeling that anything goes at this hotel, pretty much.
Well, we like people to have fun.
Speaking of fun, you guys are quite involved with sort of LGBT initiatives. Tell us
Absolutely.
About that.
Absolutely. Well, with the Rainbow Hotel,
you're going to attract the gays, right?
So yeah, of course, we definitely have a gay crowd, and that's something that we try to appeal to. We have drag karaoke on Thursday nights.
Ooh.
We make sure that all of our programming is super inclusive for everyone. And also we have the Saguaro Social Club, which is if you pay a yearly membership, you can come to our pool every weekend for free. So have to say we're appealing to some of the West Hollywood gays as well.
Ooh, fun.
And I bet it's a busy place at Pride as well, is it?
Yes, we love Pride here. We actually have a float in the Pride Parade. And last year we had a blow-up rainbow pool with plastic ball pit balls and some dancing boys.
Ooh,
had a
fun.
Pool in the Pride?
Yes.
Of our signature.
How does that work?
We can hear people in the background splashing about. Talk to us about Splash House, because that sounds really, really exciting.
Splash House is super amazing. That's something that was started by these guys out here in the desert, and it's just a bunch of really famous DJs from around the world, and they come here, and they're actually at three of the hotels. We're one of the main hotels, and they do this amazing stage, actually, to look like a mid-century modern house,
okay.
And it even has, like, a little fireplace and chimney. And it's just, it's one of the things that really exemplify who we are. You know, it's a party, but it's super fun and inclusive and for everyone.
Oh. I hear that there's buses that take you around from pool party to pool party around Palm Springs.
Yes, absolutely. And we actually have a Saguaro shuttle here, so we can drive you around ourselves.
I love it. You can really feel the energy in this hotel, actually, when you walk in. And we were saying before, on our road trip, we've stayed in quite a few different hotels. And you know what, Erin, can I tell you something? I feel like I really want to settle here. I'm good at the Roni here for a few days, because I could come here for a week-long holiday. Could you, Emma?
I could just, like, move here and live here. It's just so beautiful. It's weird, because it's kind of, like, got the party vibe, hasn't it? But, yeah, the presence of the mountains just makes it seem really calm. It just seems like a place that you could really relax and just do nothing. I guess that's what people come in for as well, is it?
Yeah, absolutely. Hanging out poolside is pretty much the thing to do here.
Do you know, when you Google Palm Springs and you click on Google Images, the first thing that comes up is a picture of this hotel. Can you believe that?
Wow,
yes.
Pretty proud.
So
I
probably engineered that.
Right, you must pay a lot of money for that to happen. Listen, if people want to come to Palm Springs and book into your hotel, what's the best way to do that?
So the best way to book is on our website, and we have all kinds of specials there, and you get a drink special just for booking on our website at thesaguaro.com, and that is SAGUARO.com.
Yes, because Emma and I were walking around for you just saying Saguaro.
Margaritas all round then, I reckon, because you do love your tequila here, don't you?
We sure do.
How many brands have you got in that bar?
Over 100.
That's good, right? Off to, are we having swimming first or tequila first? Which do you think?
Tequila.
Okay. Dean, does your skin feel like it's frying like a piece of bacon?
Yes, I feel like I am. I'm going to turn into like an Irish sausage in a minute, a very overcooked Irish sausage. We've just covered ourselves in head to toe with sun cream. We've made our way to the original old Hollywood kind of street here in Greater Palm Springs. We're joined now by the lovely Jean-Paul. Jean-Paul, introduce yourself to our lovely Gedeo listeners. Hi. By the way, he's really fit.
Hi, Gedeo listeners. My name's Jean-Paul, and I work with the Greater Palm Springs Tourism Board, and we're happy to have you guys here.
We're thrilled to be here. So why do most people come to Palm Springs, do you think?
Well, most people started to come to Palm Springs because of that two-hour rule that you mentioned. Actors in old Hollywood needed to be no more than 2 hours away from L.A. to come back and shoot, and so it became very popular, very desirable. Greater Palm Springs itself has a lot of offerings for all types of travelers. We are a really great wellness destination, and that includes everything from outdoor hiking on the beautiful mountains. We have mineral hot springs, or one of the best things to do in Palm Springs is nothing at all.
Yeah, that's what you said earlier on to us. It was like, you know what, guys, later on I want you just to chill beside the pool, because that is what you do when you come to Palm Springs.
Absolutely. There's something about it. It really is an oasis, apart from the fact that you're a little bit isolated from LA, from the mountains. It is nine very different but beautiful cities, and one of the best things to do is just hang out, check out the mountains, have some drinks, and hang out with the locals.
How do people go hiking? I mean, it's too hot to do anything, isn't it, here?
Well, at the moment it is, yes, but I did want to give you a little bit of taste for the heat. But as soon as the sun goes down, and that's why a lot of people end up coming here during the winter months, where it's cold in the rest of the world, the rest of the country, Palm Springs has the best weather.
When would you recommend to come to Palm Springs on holiday? And would you, you know, fly into LA first and come here, you know, for a few days? Or how would you do it?
So coming from the UK, I would likely fly into LAX. Greater Palm Springs has become so popular. This year, we're expecting a record-breaking airlift. JetBlue is launching early flights from New York. So there's a few different options depending on what you want to do leaving the UK and coming to the US. You can fly into New York. You can go in through Dallas. You can go in through Toronto, I believe, as well. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of options because a lot of people are coming to Greater Palm Springs. Any time of year is really great, especially if you can handle the heat. If you can't, I would say between November and, let's say, April.
So it's a bit of a Christmas. This could be a really nice winter sun destination.
I mean, you see Santa's, you know, walking around shirtless and in flip-flops on. It's, you know, it's very Christmas in California.
Santa takes his top off.
He does in Greater Palm Springs.
Well, we're talking about getting nude. We just drove up the road, and you said that bridge is between two separate nudist colonies. So it's a nudist bridge.
Yeah.
It's a bridge
between the nudes.
Are we going to have to take our clothes off again?
Yes, definitely. Greater Palm Springs also has a really big naturalist community. I think it was actually started by some Germans that came over. Apart from it just being so hot that you don't want to wear anything really, Greater Palm Springs is one of the places where you can just come and, you know, just really be yourself. So I think that's another reason why it's a particular favor with LGBT travelers.
So it is very gay friendly. We did mention seeing the rainbow flag as soon as we got here.
Absolutely. So we have Palm Springs has the nation's only all LGBT city council. I think over 50% of the population of the city, Palm Springs, is LGBT identifying. Cathedral City as well. We have gay bars popping up all over Greater Palm Springs. Yeah, I mean, the accolades just keep on going on and on.
And there are gay nudist resorts.
And there are also gay nudist resorts, yes.
All right, we have managed to find a slight bit of shade beside a massive hedge because I cannot explain to you how hot it is here in Palm Springs. It's Emma and Dean. Emma, how are you coping with this heat?
Well, I grew up in the Middle East. That's the last time I was in a temperature this hot. So today it is highs of 41. Even at night, it only goes down to about 25 degrees.
So we're currently
it?
Huddling under Marilyn Monroe's old bush. JP, yes. Tell us exactly where we are.
So we are in the Old Hollywood district of the first city of Palm Springs. Palm Springs is the first of the nine cities that you see coming in off the 10 from Los Angeles. And this neighborhood is basically where all the old Hollywood movie stars basically started taking up residence. It's obviously right at the base of the mountains. You have some of the best views, gorgeous palm trees. And so you had really great world-renowned designers come here and make this. Put this place on the map with mid-century modern architecture.
In fact, some of the houses we've driven past have been utterly incredible, and they're all so unique and different, aren't they? What was the first house you pointed out when we got
The first house we walked past is the Kaufman House. It's a very, very famous house. There's a lot of architectural, very famous architectural elements that it has that have been reproduced all throughout the world. And so, yeah, all of them are very different, and you can see houses from all different types of decades. And we're actually getting mid-century modern architecture that's being reinvented. There's a new hotel in Indian Wells called The Sands. And it's been redesigned by a celebrity designer called Martin Bouillard. And he's done beautiful Moroccan tiles everywhere to keep it much cooler. And they're calling it mid-century Moroccan.
How much would some of these houses go for then, JP?
I mean, we range from everything to, you know, a lot more affordable than Los Angeles to multi-million dollar homes, as you can see.
We are actually stood in front of Marilyn Monroe's old home. I'm guessing because she lived there, the premium would be even more. Could you even put a figure on how much that might be worth?
I could not. It is a little bit of an older home, but, you know, we have new communities coming in, you know, at all times. So I would, you know, I think everything around here is like, you know, at least one or a couple million.
Shall we go up a path? Come on.
It's absolutely stunning. It's a very quiet street. It's lined with hundreds and hundreds of palm trees. You get the spectacular views of the mountains all around. And as JP pointed out before, every time you glance up, they look different because the sun's constantly moving.
There's not a sinner in sight. All right, Emma, let's take a step onto Marilyn Monroe's porch. Come on, let's go.
Can I touch her box first?
Come on, yeah, cool. She's got no mail, actually. I thought that she might have had an Amazon Prime delivery or something, but she hasn't.
This is...
Oh, it opens.
Listen, this is number 1326. That is the sound of Marilyn Monroe's postbox being shut. You heard it here first, people. That's as close as I've come to top celebrity.
Do you know what I'm going to say, though? It's not a very grand house compared to some of them on the street.
But in that day and age, you have to imagine that this was the place. Out of all the pool parties, this is definitely where I'd want to be.
Has she got a pool?
I'm certain she does.
Yeah, you'd have to.
At least one, surely.
Yeah, absolutely. So can you point out any other amazing houses around here?
So obviously Elvis had a residence just down the block to the left, over past some trees. The very lovely Leonardo DiCaprio also has a home here. Former President Barack Obama is rumored to have been looking for property here. He loves Greater Palm Springs.
Fabulous. And in fact, you just saw a house around the corner that Barry Manilow used to own as well.
That was the Kaufman House.
Okay, and any other celeb homes around here?
Yeah, of course. I mean, we've had, Liberace, we've had Bob Hope, we've had Frank Sinatra. We can go have drinks at his favorite bar later on. So, yeah, any old school kind of glamour celebrity, they haven't had a home here. They've definitely come and partied and hung.
I don't know about you, but I'm feeling very glamorous, aren't
you? I'm also feeling like I'm going to liquefy any minute. Let's get back into the car and continue with our road trip. Here we go. Bye, Marilyn.
See you later, Matt. It's Emma and Dean. We are breathing in, we are breathing out, and we are about to do something in Greater Palm Springs that we desperately both need. And we've left the town of Palm Springs, we've driven out past a few of these suburbs or cities, and we're now in a place called Indian Wells, and we've come to a really swanky hotel. It's the Hyatt Regency, and it is literally surrounded by springs and palms. It's beautiful.
It is absolutely stunning. As soon as you get in here, you can really feel the calm, luxury. The place is just coming down with palm trees. And we've made our way to a beautiful little sort of studio built within their wellness centre to meet the lovely Henri, who's going to be carrying out our vino and vinyasa.
This is Henri, our yoga instructor. But we're not doing any sort of normal yoga, are we?
Well, actually, we are. Basically, what we're going to do is, it's called vino and vinyasa. It's a unison of yoga principles with wine tasting. So we're not actually drinking, we're actually tasting.
What? But,
not swallowing.
Hold on a minute.
We're not swallowing.
you will swallow, but it's just that it's more on the tasting side than having a couple of glasses of wine.
No, okay, we're not going to get wasted.
It depends.
So is it a kind of, you know, we're in Downward Dog on all fours, then you come along and you give us a nice big gulp of Chardonnay?
No. What? Actually, unfortunately not. So basically what happens is we'll take, basically in a general vino and vinyasa, we do 20 minutes of standing yoga postures. And basically what we're doing is we're using the principles of yoga, of understanding breath. Our goal is to lower the sense of thoughts, to get the blood flowing, to get you into a more parasympathetic nervous system. And what this does, it enhances your sense of taste, your sense of smell. It enhances triggering thousands of memories. And so you begin to really come into contact with your own likes and dislikes of the wines and so forth. And then what happens is you end up having an individual experience of yoga and wine tasting in unison. So after the 20-minute yoga of standing postures, then we go into white wine tasting. So we compare two white wines. Mm. Then after that, we would normally do 20 minutes of ground yoga, because reds is considered down on the ground, basically growing close to the earth. And then after that, we would do compare two reds. And then we go into a sense of understanding what it needs to be, what it means to be in stillness and just to quiet the mind. And so it's sort of like a meditative period of 2 or 3 minutes. And then after that, we come up for a champagne toast.
I mean, now we're talking.
Yeah.
Is there quite a big wellness scene in Palm Springs?
Overall, yes, because you got to remember that the average age in this area for most of the places is around 50. Now it's expanding because of Coachella Fest and so forth like that. But there is a lot of wellness centers around here, and there is a huge community in the emphasis of yoga, Pilates mats, health for those that are 40 and over, 50 and over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes. Hearing that. Well, I have actually seen a lot of signs of places doing yoga, but I'm guessing it's more the traditional yoga rather than what we're going to be doing.
Well, yes, this yoga that we're doing, basically I'm going to get you to enhance your sense of breath and bring you more into the present. I'm going to show you how you can actually lower the level of thoughts that you're having and actually become aware of you, who is the you that is actually doing the thinking, who is actually remembering.
I'm feeling more relaxed just listening to one really talk,
so
aren't you?
And I'm starting to think that if we get tucked into that table of wine over there, that we might not remember what has happened today.
That's okay. You have it on tape.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, thank you.
So 2-4-4-2. That is inhaling for 2, holding for 4, exhaling for 4, holding the exhale out for 2. And repeat, inhaling, and so forth. So you're staying with the count, and after a while, after you practice a while, you can actually do it very naturally. You will get a sense of, okay, that was 2, okay, that is 4. Remember, what this does is it helps you stay in a more parasympathetic nervous system, relax and digest.
So the white wine that we've just tasted,
yes.
You've mentioned that the yoga actually helps us connect with our senses.
Yes.
And we compared a Chardonnay and a Sauvignon Blanc.
Mm-hmm.
Had we have not done those stretches, would that have been different? Would we have sort of received those flavors in a different way?
Well, yes, I believe so. Just think of it this way. When you go to, you get to a place and you already have in your mind you want a glass of wine. And you take and they pour that wine, and the first thing you do is you just gulp first couple of drinks down.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, you miss the whole essence of the wine, and usually that's when you don't really even know if you like it or not. You just consider it if you like a Merlot or you like a Cap, it's a Cap. But if you let that wine breathe and you shake the glass around a little bit so some of the alcohol evaporates, and you look at the legs a little bit, it's a little fun, having fun with that glass of wine, and take a quick whiff. You are enhancing everything about that wine, the smell. If there's something bad that you don't like, it has a bad smell to you, I don't care how good it is, it will always have that bad smell to you.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, you're taking your sips, you wet the whole palate. Remember, you only have sweet in the front of the tongue, sour and salty in the middle, and bitter in the back.
Nice.
You know what? I didn't know that before. I feel like I've learned loads on this wine tasting class, don't you?
Absolutely. And I'm not a huge fan of white wine. However, tasting the Chardonnay, having done the stretches, it actually appealed to me quite a lot. But we're going to do red wine now. So shall we take a sip?
So you stand the wine up. You look at it. Wow, that is pretty thick. You can't see through it. What would you call that? You look at the color. Is that like a ruby?
It's blood red.
It's like a blood red to you.
Really dark and deep,
very
isn't
dark.
It?
And does that make you nervous? It's dark.
It makes me very happy.
Yeah. Because I think that this red wine might hug me and spoon me to sleep.
Absolutely. All right. And then you catch the legs a little bit. You see them start running down. Everybody likes a good pair of legs. Look how fast they're going down. And
so does that mean that it's quite a strong red wine?
Actually, normally it says if the legs are really slow and thick, it usually means a high level of either alcohol or sugar.
Mm.
So it just really depends, but we're going to see that. But we know these are red, so they're probably 14.5 in alcohol anyway.
Ooh.
All right.
Let's have a taste,
so
shall we?
Maybe that's not such a good idea. All right, so what we're going to do, let's take a whiff really quick.
Oh, that is deep. That is heavy.
How is it, my man? I know you like reds.
It's
he
nice.
That so far. That's a good sign.
That smells full-bodied.
And all right, so now this is a Merlot.
Oh, I was going to say, I thought it was a Merlot.
It is. It's definitely a Merlot. And what makes you think you knew it was a Merlot?
It's quite woody. I can really taste the cranberries and the blueberries coming through.
So now what we're going to do is, remember, you want to wet your whole palate. You got to both top and bottom, so take a sip.
Here we go, both top and bottom, Dean.
Oh, wow. No. Oh. No.
You're not loving that?
It's way too tangy.
It's fizzy, doesn't it?
Oh, no.
It's really on that.
Have you got any crisps to go with this? I'm really hungry now.
It's very acidic.
Vina Vinyasa and Munster Munch.
Munster Munch.
Absolutely not.
It's
do you know what? That tastes like a flip-flop.
Have you ever had anyone this rude in your classroom?
Oh, absolutely.
The Californian wine snobs.
Well, you know, actually, that's how it goes, is everybody has different perceptions and tastes, and if we can enhance those sense of taste, smells, and so forth like that, and they really come out, no, I don't like this. Oh, no, this is too much. All right, so while we're doing that, we're going to go ahead and pull out that other one really quick.
Oh, nice. Oh, okay. Emma, do you know what?
You're not a fan of that.
It may not taste nice, but just let's neck it. Cheers.
And then we're going to do the vertical lying down yoga pose.
Okay, I sleep.
We are still in Greater Palm Springs, and for some unknown reason, we're stood in a hair salon.
Well, we've been on the road now for over a week, and we have been using really rubbish hotel shampoo and conditioner, so I thought, let's take ourselves to Daddy's here in Greater Palm Springs, and we're now with Big Daddy. Arlen, introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Arlen Lassiter. I'm one of the owners of Daddy's Barbershop, Palm Springs and San Francisco.
Yeah, so you started in San Francisco how many
years
ago?
We started in San Francisco 10 years ago, and Palm Springs has been open about 7 months now.
So. And just looking at your clientele and the pictures on the wall, I'm guessing you are kind of aiming at gay men. And particularly maybe bears who like a bit of facial hair. Am I wrong?
You are not wrong. You're very correct.
Where do we fit into this?
Oh, you fit in, honey. Yeah. You'll fit right in.
And I do, Daddy.
We actually cater to the leather community up in San Francisco, so we're part of the Folsom team. Not sure if you guys know about the Folsom Street Fair.
Explain.
It's the world's largest fetish fair, and I was one of the board of directors for the last 10 years.
Oh, so we're lucky to see you in your casual wear today.
That's
you're probably
normally
just in leather, are you?
And so that's the connection to the leather community, and we also have that connection down here in Palm Springs to the leather community. But we don't discriminate, so if you're straight and not into the leather scene, we will cut your hair too.
Okay,
I own a leather belt.
Excuse me, I own a leather jacket. We're practically part of the scene, Dean.
Arlen, what I wanted to ask you though is, why is it called Daddy's?
So Daddy's came about, the name Daddy's came about when I was in beauty school, believe it or not. So when I was actually 46 years old when I decided to change careers and go to hair school. By the end of that, by the end of the school year when I was graduating, every single person in that school, from the students to the faculty to the owners, were calling me Daddy. And so fast forward three years, when I decided to open my own little barbershop, which I started with three chairs, and it came time to get a name, I went through all these names, and just out of the blue, it came to my head, Daddy's. And Daddy's was born, and it has been a hit ever since.
Kind of works for the gay community as well, I think,
totally,
doesn't it, really?
Totally.
But why did you decide to move down to Palm Springs, though?
Untapped market.
Okay.
It's an untapped market, and they don't have anything like Daddy's down here. And we are here to take them by storm.
Well, it's a beautiful barbershop. If we look around, it's very black. We've got stunning portraits on the wall. Are they customers? Where did you find these beautiful men?
So there is the artist of these prints. His name is Inked Kenny. He's a famous photographer out of Canada, and he's a good friend of mine, and these are all his friends.
I want to look like him.
If you look closely, you'll find me in one of them.
Oh, stop it.
That's a challenge.
Speaking of challenges, Yep. Look at us. what we're going to do today is Emma is giving me full control over her new look, which she has got no idea what's going to happen, because I can slightly explain what kind of look we're going to go for.
I'm giving you full control, and I am looking terrified.
Yes, she is. And there's quite a famous presenter back in the UK called Emma Willis, and Emma Goswell here has a bit of a girl crush on her, so we're going to make her look like her.
Cool.
Yes. It does involve quite a large quiff.
It does.
It's going to involve a lot of blow drying.
She's going to need a nice big blowy, but we're also going to take her sides up, and we're going to put all of this on our social media. So stay tuned, get out your phones, and get onto Instagram at Gadio and Twitter as well, because Emma and I are in the capable hands of Daddy.
Thank you so much.
It's Emma and Dean on Gadio, the beat of Gay UK, and we've had a makeover.
Now, you say Emma and Dean, but people might not recognise us. Now, we've had the daddy's makeover. We're in Palm Springs. Well, it's the place to get your hair done, really, isn't it?
It really is. Yes, Daddy's was originally in San Francisco, where they've got a massive big barbershop up there. But they've branched out, and they're here in the desert. Now, Daddy, I'm going to keep calling him Daddy. His name is Arlen, but we're going to call him Daddy.
Because it's his business.
Because it's his business, and he is the big old Daddy. Daddy, tell me, what did you actually do with my hair? Because I came in here looking like I'd been washed up.
And you, young man, got a different look for Southern California, which we call the low, high, and tight.
Oh, what's low, high, and tight about it?
It's a low fade, and it's a high tight.
You could do your own tight jokes there. But the great makeover of the day, actually, is with you, Emma.
Yes, this lovely man called John from San Francisco has been tasked with doing my hair. I guess you don't cut many women's hair, do you?
No, unless you want a men's haircut.
No, okay. So was it okay? Was it too much of a challenge for you? No.
Once you get into it, is figuring it out is the same thing. You basically got a low fade. Actually, it's a little higher in some places, and a wedge, and a little bit of an undercut here and there, and it's very nice. It turned out very nice. Are you happy with it?
I'm happy with it. I think it's quite dramatic. I think my mother will hate it, but I'm quite liking it. Anyway, Dean, it was your instruction. So what did you tell John that I wanted?
Well, I thought it was good to get Emma freshened up round the back and sides, get her a nice low fade, because a couple of weeks ago when we were hosting Manchester Pride, I blow-dried Emma's hair and she pulled twice, John. So that was nothing to do with her shining personality and great sense of humour. It was all to do with the blow-dry.
It was all to do with a haircut. So I'm desperate to look like Emma Willis, really. But I have got it really shaved around the back.
Yes.
And in fact, he just took a razor blade. I've just had a proper shave. A proper shave.
And you're back. Yeah, a neck shave it's called. Everybody gets one here in the barbershop.
Well, I've never had a neck shave. Well, I actually had shaving foam on the back of my neck.
Warm lather.
It was a lovely warm lather. It was
a hot towel afterwards.
Yeah, and then I got a hot towel. It was a really nice experience.
Well, I had one of the best head massages I ever have. In fact, Daddy had to ask me 3 times, do you want any product in your hair? Because I had dozed off. Isn't that right?
That's correct, young man.
Was he groaning?
He was.
Oh, he would be.
It was quite a nice experience. Honestly, though, when you come to Palm Springs, many people get their hair cut before they go on holiday, Emma. But actually, in my opinion, I think you should wait until you get here.
No, do it. Branch out. Don't just go to the same hairdresser all the time. I did it the last time I came. I had my hair cut in Portland. Mm-hmm. Now I've had it cut in Palm Springs. It's just the thing that you should be doing on holiday.
Yeah.
Be experimental. Be brave. Go on, do it.
And of course, when you come down here, you can meet all the lovely chaps, get to know a little bit about the neighbourhood, make some friends, drink some beer, and get an amazing head massage, Daddy.
Yes, sir. Every time.
Every single time. It is called Daddy's. And tell us what the street is, and if we need to book an appointment, how do we go about doing that?
You call Daddy's Barbershop, Palm Springs, and the street in front is, our address is 192 South Indian Canyon, Palm Springs, California.
And you were telling me that there's a lack of twinks here in the Palm Springs region, so will we send them your way?
Yes, please.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much, John, for bringing a brilliant barber and giving me my first ever wet shave. And thank you, Daddy.
You're very welcome. Thank you for coming to Daddy's.
Make sure you get on to our social media then, at Gadio. Have a look at our aftershots, Emma. I think it's going to get lots and lots of retweets. You could have won this week's Twitter challenge.
Yeah, baby.
I was
going to
give Emma a little trim here. I've seen a few little
hairs. Oh, hang on a minute. He's just seen a few stray hairs here.
Yeah. And then turn the hair the other way.
Okay. Sorry. See. Here we go.
Oh, turn. You got on that side.
No. Right. Are we good? Right. Woohoo! Fabulous. Let's go and pull.
It's Emma and Dean coming to you from the Kimpton Rowan Palm Springs, which is the newest hotel in Palm Springs, less than a year old. And Emma, what a view.
Wow, because we haven't really got up tall, have we? Got up high since we've been here. And now from the top of this hotel, you can see over the whole of Palm Springs City. And it's incredible how flat it is, and it's also incredible how many palm trees are out there.
There are literally, it's just infested with palm trees, isn't it? I think this is possibly the best view of Palm Springs as well.
It really is. And you just get an incredible sense of all the mountains surrounding Greater Palm Springs as well.
Yes,
just beautiful. And we've dragged up to the top floor.
That's right.
Rhonda Hart from Palm Springs Pride. Welcome to Gaydio, Ron.
Yeah, thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Palm Springs Pride has been going quite a while, hasn't it? Tell us about it.
We started, our first Pride was in May of 1986, and it was so hot outside, it was held inside the Riviera Hotel Ballroom. And we continued to have it in May and June for a few years until everybody decided it's too darn hot in May and June, so we shifted to November. So our event is in November now.
Very sensible, because you couldn't have done a parade in the streets. It must have been like sort of 45, 50 degrees, right?
Yeah, it was 106, 110.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we complain at Manchester Pride and London Pride when it gets like 20 degrees.
So tell us about what you're expecting this year for Pride then.
You know, I think we always get a great crowd in Palm Springs from folks traveling in. We've got a big LGBT community that comes out in support each year, no matter what is going on. But 60 to 70% of our 140,000 people that attend come from out of town. So we get a lot of travelers coming in, a lot of UK, a lot of Canadian, a lot of Germans, a lot of Australians travel in. So we've got a big international audience that comes to Palm Springs during Pride.
That must be quite a lot of pressure to deliver, right?
You know, it's fun. Everybody wants to come to Palm Springs and see what you're seeing right now, these beautiful mountains and the palm trees. And it's fun. It's just a fun, laid-back, relaxing environment. And people have a great time. And it's even attending L.A. or San Diego, coming to Palm Springs, they're very different Pride experiences.
What makes Palm Springs so unique?
I think Palm Springs itself. I think a lot has to do with the city itself and what the city has to offer. And it is it's a nice, quick getaway, but you don't have the pressures that you have in some other communities. And when you're going to a LA Pride event, there may be a lot of more pressure to perform and to look great and look fabulous. And that may not be as such here in the desert.
Well, in fact, you moved here from San Diego, didn't you? Why did you do that?
I came in 2010 to help out the Pride organization here because the president had become ill and the board was looking for help. And I've volunteered out here since 2005 with the Pride event. So they knew I was aware of the event and I came out and I helped them in 2010 as the president and I've never left.
What other initiatives do you have going on around the year? Where does the money actually go that you raise from the
festival? With our event, our Pride event, we're very different than any other California Pride event south of San Francisco. We're free. We're a free event. We're a large-scale free Pride event, so there's not a gated admission fee. So the monies that are raised go to pay for the event. It's a significant event for this small city. You know, we've only got 43,000, 44,000 population. And of the official events, we had 140,000 people attending events last year. The festival will be three times the size of the San Diego Pride Festival. You all mentioned you were in San Diego. Twice the size of LA, three times the size of
Long Beach.
So the festival. So our festival, and the reason for that is not just because of the city of Palm Springs and everybody wants to come. It's a free event, and we're open and we're accessible for everybody.
I've heard that it's quite sort of family friendly as well.
And we've been working on that, and we're seeing, if you stand out on the street, you see a lot of families, a lot of young families. The most exciting thing is you see the number of women participating is just going through the ceiling. And that's not what you saw here 15 years ago. It was very male driven, and now our female participation is in the 40-45% of the crowd.
That's
very
huge.
Good.
That is
huge.
Yeah,
no, it's fantastic. It's wonderful to see.
Nice.
More about the experience, being here with your friends, celebrating if that's what they want to do, being in a position to raise your voice and have a platform to discuss issues that are important to you.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, Pride always started as a political point. It was a protest. Do you feel that that's still needed today?
We're a little bit of everything here. We are not billed solidly as a march or a party or just a plain celebration. Foundation. We encourage all of our parade participants to come and share their message, share their voice, use that parade to speak out on issues that are important to them and raise awareness in the community.
And I'm guessing the rest of Palm Springs accepts it now. They love a bit of gay pride.
Well, you don't have a choice when there's 140,000 people in your backyard.
If our listeners want to come then and visit Palm Springs, Greater Palm Springs this year, what are the dates and how can they get involved?
So our events start on November 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and they can get access information and all the details by going to pspride.org. And we have 7 host hotels, so there's links on the hotels for our hotel partners that offer different rates for folks coming just for Pride.
And I've checked my diary, and I am free the first weekend in November.
I think I might have just cleared mine.
It's a fun time, so you'd have a great time.
Thank you so much.
All right, thank you.
It's Emma and Dean here in a beautiful view coming to you from the Kimpton Rowan Hotel in Palm Springs. What a stunning view, Emma. It's absolutely divine. The rolling hills, the palms, and I tell you what, it is absolutely roasting outside, so I'm glad we're tucked in here.
Yeah, do you know what? You can go up to the top of the mountains on the cable car, but why not just come to an air-conditioned hotel
yes.
and look at the view? That's a much better way. It's a beautiful city. We've had such an amazing time here so far. But I didn't quite realise how gay Palm Springs really was. The only place in the US with an all LGBT council. I mean, that is quite incredible, isn't it, really? We're going to meet one of the councilwomen now, Lisa Middleton. Hi, Lisa.
Well, good afternoon to everyone in the United Kingdom.
So how on earth has Palm Springs ended up being so gay that the entire council is LGBT?
We work hard.
Where are all the straight people?
Our city includes across the spectrum. LGBT, obviously we are the everyone on the city council right now. We have had, over the last decade, though, 4 out of 5 members of our city council that were gay and lesbian. But what we managed to do in 2017 was elect an entirely all LGBT city council, including covering the letters L, B, G, B, and T.
Yes.
I had to do double duty to make that happen, but I was thrilled to do it.
Well, you are only one of 8 elected transgender officials in the whole of America and the first in California. How important is that to you, or is it not an issue?
Oh, it's very important, and I take tremendous pride in my city. There were, last November, 8 transgender individuals elected across the United States. Previous to that, we had 7, so we more than doubled our representation in one evening. But here in Palm Springs, it was largely not an issue. This community has gotten to know me and the work that I have done, and I was just warmly embraced, primarily as a neighborhood leader, not as someone who is transgender.
Did you have to come out before your career, or did you have to do that in the middle of your career?
I came out in the middle of my career in 1995. I was senior manager with a very large state agency that was responsible for workers' compensation. Over the course of many months, I told my life story to literally thousands of people that were working for our agency. It was, as you can imagine, an incredibly stressful time, but telling a hard truth is sometimes telling the best truth. And I have been so blessed since I came out in terms of friends and accomplishments. And I think our community is so much stronger for inclusion of everyone across the spectrum.
Yeah, we've read a lot in the UK over the last year about how trans rights have probably changed under the Trump administration. Do you feel that there's even more to fight for at the moment because of the current government?
Absolutely. The Trump administration is making changes. One of the things that is so incredibly different today is we have young parents who are recognizing that their children have gender issues in providing them the freedom and the support to become who they are at a very young age. And in the Obama administration, those children who were coming out at 4, 5, 6, and 7 years old had the support of the administration. Today, they do not. The President of the United States no longer has the back of that 6-year-old who's coming out. During the course of my campaign, I met one young 7-year-old girl who had come out. Her parents were so proud of her. I can't imagine having that courage at 7 years old. I certainly did not have it when I was 7 years old.
Wow. What are you doing then to help LGBT rights here in Palm Springs?
Our city is moving forward. We have one of the strongest anti-discrimination ordinances in the Valley, in the state of California. California truly has been a trendsetter in the country in terms of affirming LGBT rights. The young girl that I was just speaking about, she, her parents brought her to California from Arizona because they knew she would have a much greater chance of success in our state than she would in their home state.
You must be so proud to hear things like that, to know that people are actually flocking to California. Are you feeling pride?
I feel incredibly proud, and I believe the future belongs to those communities that are committed to diversity, that are committed to inclusion. When you look at where the greatest economic success is taking place in our country, it's taking place in places like Boston, New York, Seattle, Portland, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Palm Springs, communities that are committed to the inclusion of every member of their community.
Do you know what? I can totally see why you'd want to live here, can't you, Dean?
And I think coming to Palm Springs has just been a real, it's been a big massive hug, a big sunny hug.
Well, I'm glad you said that. You know, one of the stories I like to tell on our campaign, our city's a city of huggers.
Oh.
And I found that out very clearly a couple of years ago. I was at a formal event. I went over to shake hands with the police chief. He slapped my hand away, gave me a big bear hug, and said, "You know we hug in Palm Springs." That's the police chief.
Well, that is wonderful. Lisa Middleton, Councilwoman, thank you so much for taking time out to speak to us today.
Can I have a hug?
Thank you.
Yeah, let's have a hug. Let's hug it out.
In the background, you can hear absolutely nothing.
Do you know what I can hear? There's a couple of giant pylons right next to us, and you can hear the crackle of electricity that is coming all the way from Phoenix, Arizona, to this little bit of the desert outside Greater Palm Springs. And we are stood on the San Andreas Fault.
Nice.
This is remarkable.
Most of you will be thinking, what on earth are the San Andreas Faults? Well, we have enlisted the help of a
naturalist,
which is different from a naturist, isn't it, Bob, from Desert Adventures, Jeep Safari.
I keep my clothes up.
We don't. Tell us exactly where we are today.
So you are standing right on the San Andreas Fault Zone. And the San Andreas Fault Zone is the border between two giant tectonic plates, the Pacific Plate, which stretches from the edge of California to Japan, and the North American plate, which stretches all the way to Iceland.
Okay, and those plates have a habit of moving, which is why this area is quite infamous for earthquakes, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. In an average week, we have 150 to 200 earthquakes in this area.
Wow. Well, Dean did think he felt the earth move last night.
Yeah, I did when I was in the shower.
Yeah.
I think that might have just been me doing my my choreography.
But we're waiting for a big one, though, aren't we? Well,
yes.
We're not waiting. We're hoping it doesn't come today. But
on an average year, the plates grind past each other about an inch or two.
Mm-hmm.
That's about as much as your fingernail grows in a year.
That's quite extraordinary, isn't it?
That's mental. And we were just speaking before about the wildlife that we see around here. I mean, literally, if we look around, there is absolutely, it's just vast, is how I would describe it. And there's actually wildlife even here.
Absolutely. So there are all kinds of birds. There are owls, there are eagles, there are ravens here.
Yeah, but they're not idiots, so they're not out in this 40-degree heat that we're out in. So they're
exactly.
If you come at night, you'll see a lot more, right?
On the ground, and don't forget, the air temperature right now is probably around 40.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, yeah, we can feel that.
But because we're standing on sand, that radiates up even more heat. So we're probably feeling it's more like 45.
Okay. So therefore, the coyotes are sensible and they're living in a rock under a rock somewhere.
Exactly. They're in their dens right now for the most part. They'll come out and forage at night.
Okay, and cool. Can we just check the snakes are sleeping as well? Because I don't want to encounter any.
Well, I can't promise that, but we do have lots of rattlesnakes out here.
Now, Bob, you have just locked the fence behind us. Tell us why we are very special guests today on your Jeep tour.
Well, we are on a private 800-acre desert wilderness that we lease from an old pioneering family, the Wilhelms. So we're the only ones who have access to this wonderful place. And as I said, the San Andreas Fault runs right through it.
Yeah, and we're just about to cross it, actually. And just remind us very quickly why you can see the San Andreas Fault from quite a distance, because it's the only bit around here that is actually green, isn't it? Why is that?
Yes, so the fault is not a crack. We don't see it as a crack. What we see is a line of vegetation.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason we do is because beneath our feet, even though we're in one of the driest deserts in the world, where we only get a couple of inches of rain a year, we have millions and millions of acre feet of water beneath our feet.
Wow.
That's been collecting there.
Hence the way we can get palms growing in the middle of a desert. But
exactly.
It particularly grows over the fault line, doesn't it? Because it locks the water in a lot easier.
Exactly right. As those two plates grind past each other, it creates this really fine talcum powder-like product that keeps the water from going under or through, and it pushes up.
So basically, if you're having your lunch today and you happen to be eating Oreos, just push them together, and when the lovely creamy stuff in the middle of the Oreo pops to the outside, that's what we call gouge.
Fault gouge, exactly. It's a great representation of it.
He's a very good teacher, isn't he, Bob?
Oh, he's wonderful. Right, Bob, where are we off to next then?
We are heading into some amazing canyons that are here because of all that seismic activity, throwing the walls of the canyon up around us.
Oh, it's amazing.
Ready?
Yep, so we're back on board our red Jeep. It's surprisingly comfortable, Bob, isn't it, with our seatbelts and everything on, because we're 4x4, aren't we?
Yes, we are. You ready?
Right, locked in.
Wait one sec.
Ready to go.
There we go.
All right, off we go.
Full steam ahead. Our desert adventures continue, and we've got out of the Jeep now, and we're just walking through a really tiny, tiny little... It's not even a valley, is it? How would you describe this,
Dean? It's a bit like a very small infant canyon, we've been told by Bob, who's our tour guide for today. I literally feel like I'm in a Britney video.
Why?
I just feel like, you know, this is the perfect sort of music video setting if you want to give the illusion that you're on Mars, because I feel like we're on a different planet entirely.
You do feel a bit like that. So basically there's a channel that's what, not even a meter wide, that's just been carved presumably by water through these rocks, and we're just walking either side, and there's like about 30 foot of like rocks above us, and we're walking through the canyon. It kind of reminds me of that film where a man falls down a hole and has to cut his arm off with his penknife. Do you remember that one? Let's hope that doesn't happen.
So, Bob, tell us, how does a canyon like this end up, this way?
Okay, so we call this a slot canyon because it's not large enough to get much more than a few people into it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's created by water, and you can see how smooth the rock is towards the bottom, and wind. Because as you begin to look at these, what I'm doing is just running my fingers along the canyon walls.
It's just breaking off, isn't it? It's just flaking off in your hand.
Sandy pieces.
But then this side feels quite...
Yes.
Solid.
But as the sand comes through here, when it's very windy, which it's always windy in the desert, those little teeny tiny sand particles will act like a sandblaster.
Mm.
So you've got water eating it away, and you've got sand eating it away. Over time, this will get bigger and bigger. But right now, we can stretch our arms out and touch both sides.
We can. We absolutely can.
It's a diddy little canyon.
Do you know what? I feel like...
Why?
I just want to whisper. Because it's just so peaceful. And it's almost like there's no atmosphere whatsoever.
Hence the moon.
But there is plenty of plants that you've mentioned to us in the back of the car.
Yeah.
We've saw lizards. There's wildlife. There's even an owl lair. You described it in a rock, the shape of an owl.
Yes. So... through a process called differential erosion, big stones fall out of these canyon walls, and critters will climb in and make that their home. And what we saw was a hole that an owl has decided is the perfect place for them to live.
Oh, that's amazing.
But it's not always this deathly quiet, is it? God, so I hear that you do corporate parties here
as well.
Yeah, well,
the thing that's so great, you don't hear a lot of echo in here, right?
No.
So it's kind of absorbing the sound. Mm. So it makes it very hushed and very spiritual, sacred back here.
Yeah.
So what is it up there where we're going now?
So we're going to go straight through, and then we're going to make a right and go up to a giant hole in the canyon wall.
Well, that sounds like fun.
Okay.
You can do your own jokes.
You lead the way, Bob.
It's Emma and Dean still with you in sunny, sunny California, and we're here in Palm Springs, which is the third stop on our four-stop road trip.
And we're going to talk about lesbians, finally.
Way!
And we're going to talk about the world's biggest lesbian gathering, Dinah Shore, with the main organiser, Mariah Hansen.
Happy to meet you and have you here in our great city.
So talk to us about Dinah Shore then, because it seems to me that there are more women heading off to the official Pride celebration. What drove you to doing a complete all-female festival?
Well, that's actually a really good question, because Pride celebrations are amazing, and we all need to be there and to celebrate and to live out loud. But it is a male-female thing, and we want different things in our celebrations. And so to create a lesbian or, at this point, queer woman-identified event really speaks to that feminine energy. And it's very different from male energy. And so we, for 5 days in Palm Springs every year, get to celebrate who we are, living out loud, living outrageously, being bold, and creating unity, diversity, celebrating all those things in a solely feminine, spirited environment. And it's empowering for women. We need that, just like guys need their spaces.
Absolutely.
Is it a women-only space, though?
No, it's not a women-only space in the sense that I don't believe in that kind of segregation that we've experienced as men and women. I do think we need our own spaces. But, for instance, if you're having a gay event, but your best friend is a woman, you should be able to bring her.
Absolutely.
So if I came to your festival, I could bring Dean.
You could bring him because he's so cute, for starters.
Stop.
And then you could bring him because he loves Belinda Carlisle.
He was mentioning Belinda Carlisle before.
My lack, fit right in. You're a lesbian.
My lack of knowledge. I think there's a lesbian inside me just desperate to come out.
That's awesome.
So what would we expect?
I feel that way about every woman I meet.
I bet you do. What would we expect then at Dinah Shore? Talk us through the program. What is it like?
So it's 5 days. We start on Wednesday and we end on Sunday. And Wednesday is kind of a meet and greet day, because usually people are traveling from afar will come in earlier. And so that's kind of a get to know you. I'm really a believer in that the producer and the production sets the vibe of an event. And so we create a vibe where people feel really comfortable coming in, not knowing anybody, and leaving with friends. And so that's kind of the start of the weekend, but then it progresses into much more of a wild, fun, celebratory experience. So Thursday we do comedy, we do an opening party, and Friday we take over. It's 100% occupied hotel space, and Friday and Saturday are peak nights, and so it's the most amount of people during the 5 days that are there on those weekends. And it really is just entertainment. It's performances.
And you've been doing this for quite a few years now, and you've had some big names over those years, right?
Yes. I've been doing this for 29 years, if you can believe that.
Wow!
People are always saying, no. When are you going to stop? I'm like, I can't. People would be so angry at me. But I love doing the Dinah, and I feel like after 29 years, I'm able to actually really create that nuance to an event. Like, I know it so well that I can really work on leading in the community and creating that nuance of politics and making the experience not just a fun experience, but a life-changing experience. And that's our goal every year.
That sounds good.
That's quite a big goal, isn't it?
Where else do you have to go? You know, I mean, 10, 15 years ago, I had a completely different approach. I thought I had the best job in the world because I got to drink for free.
Mm. But now it's not about the drink.
No, now I'm like, I have the best job in the world because I get to take today's climate and create a really safe space for women, and to book women who have backstories of empowerment and breaking glass ceilings. Their stories are really powerful as role models for the people that are attending the event. I get to send out an invitation to every conceivable woman so that everybody feels welcome at this table. That creates a sense of unity in the event. People leave the Dinah saying, I cannot believe the vibe here. I haven't experienced anything like it. And that's actually an intention.
Wow.
She's even had Lady Gaga at the event doing... right?
Yes, I have had Lady Gaga, Katy Perry, Kesha, Iggy Azalea, Meghan Trainor, Christina Perry, Natasha Bedingfield, and more. I mean, that's just coming off the top of my head. Jessie Reyes was my favorite this year. I think people are going to be really blown away at how big she gets. What's wonderful about doing an event this long is you get a feel for where music is going. And so I've been able to catch these people right at the cusp of their takeoff.
So you got Gaga before she was mega big then?
I got her right as she was about to take off.
So do you think because of your festival she became big?
Gaga's only big because she's dipped her toe in the lady pond.
I'm not going to take that much credit, but I will take it. Yes, exactly. Well, she came back a few years later as a guest with Samantha Ronson, so she doesn't enjoy the event.
It sounds to me like it's not just about being lesbian. It's about being female.
It's about identifying with that female energy. Yes, absolutely.
So there's a lesbian festival in the UK called Elfest, which I go to. I've been to several times, which I enjoy. But I would say it was probably, without generalising too much, for the older lesbian. What about Dinosaur? Is it a younger vibe?
That's probably the hardest challenge for any producer of a national event is how do you merge the younger generation with the older generation because they want different things. And so for the Dino, we have a comedy night. We do a room solely dedicated to old school, which is really fun for younger people too because it's all retro in the end, right? We're all revisiting 20 or 30 years ago. And so we really keep in mind that the age difference is there and we need to speak to both. And I also think it's really important for younger people to be partying in the same room with older people and vice versa.
For education purposes as well, I imagine, right?
We have a lot to teach each other.
Yeah.
So when is the event next year and what can we expect?
And can we have some free tickets?
And can we come? You read my mind,
though. That's the punchline, right?
Well, here's the great news is that we love press, of course, and so press is always invited. And yes, you can come. And
whee! And when is it and who's on?
So I'm actually in the middle of booking right now, and I'm looking at some really great large names. We'll see if they say yes. People will be surprised. I start at the top. I've invited Madonna to play. I've invited Pink to play. Of course. And then you get your nose, right? But I'm going to start at the top. Why not?
Ian Big Girl.
What if one day they say yes?
They will.
I love your attitude. Pink will say yes to you one day.
She actually said yes about 10 years ago when she was on tour with Justin Timberlake. And then she said no 4 days later. I had Pink.
Come on, Pink.
So you had
Pull
Pink, basically.
Out.
I also, you know who I booked last year that canceled? Was, she's huge now. Ella May.
Ella May?
She said yes and then canceled.
Oh.
All these women. Pull your finger
these
out.
Flaky women.
They're, yes. So what we're doing next year is we're going to produce a really incredible. I'm upping the ante with the music again. So I'm really looking at an even larger offering or a more celebrated offering for our customers.
And it's April next year?
It's April 3rd through 7th at the Hilton Hotel and the Hyatt Hotel.
Well, we've been to the Hyatt Hotel.
Just before my birthday, Dean. I think that would be a good birthday treat, don't you?
I'm throwing a birthday party for you.
Yes!
Yes!
My life is made.
Every lesbian, woman, queer girl, I know.
This is the best moment of my life. So there's going to be loads of hot women and Pink, and it's all going to be a party for me.
Right, if you come back from that festival having not snogged a girl, don't come back.
don't come home.
You know that movie Love Actually, where he was working his accent with the Americans? That works.
Yeah, that does work, doesn't it?
It's up the English.
You're going to do well.
It's not worked so far. I need to really work on this. Thank you.
Oh, girl, shall I leave you to it? Right, if our lovely females back in the UK or their fabulous friends want to come and get tickets, I suppose it's better to get the tickets sooner rather than later, right?
It's best to get them actually right now because they are the least expensive. So you go to thedina.com and you have a ticket link there, and you can also read about the events. We update it all the time, so the more we learn about what we're doing, we put it on the website.
And what does that include then? Is it the hotel and the ticket and the 5-day pass?
You can do it that way if you want. It's called the VIP package. It's a little pricier. You can also do it a la carte so that you can make it as affordable as you need it to be.
I should probably just point out that if you're looking for it online, it's spelled D-I-N-A-H, right?
Oh, thank you. Yes.
Yes.
Not AR, so yeah.
Tell us quickly, why is it called Dinosaur?
Dinosaur, the actress, aligned her name with the golf tournament here years ago, and the Dinosaur Weekend started out as lesbians coming to watch golf. Somebody threw a party.
Who knew that was a thing.
Wow.
Yeah, I can't believe that, right? And so I wasn't the first. I just was the first one to come in after a few years of people throwing little parties and going, there's something here. I want to do something amazing. Mm. We used that name because it was identified with the golf tournament, but then it was a case of the tail wagging the dog.
So I'll tell you what, Emma, what we need to do to book that week off work next year is tell them we're going to watch the golf.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, very intellectual sporting pursuit. That's what we do. Nothing to do with the hot lesbians, right?
Nothing right. at all. Mariah, we'll see you at the golf.
Yeah, I can't wait.
And we've come to a thrift store.
We have indeed, but this isn't just any thrift store, no. Is it, Emma?
This is a very important thrift store. We're at Revival's thrift store, and here to tell us all about it is...
Steve Hinks, who is the Director of Community Development. Steve, welcome to Gaydio. This is the most colourful thrift store I've ever been in.
Thanks. I mean, it is a completely unique retail environment. It's a little bit what retail used to be, when it was an exciting place to go before we all shopped online. It's a place where you never know what you're going to find, because we get thousands of donated items every day, and that is the majority of what's in the store. 70% of everything we sell, and that's donated here, is sold to raise funds for Desert AIDS Project. But 30% of the store is unique because it's the only thrift store in the country that has its own brand of new furniture, lighting, decorative accessories, and rugs.
In fact, we're sat on a very nice sofa.
This would be lovely for your new flat.
This would be great in my new flat.
In the left-hand corner.
It might be a little hard to get back, but yeah. And the rest of the store is what you'd expect in a thrift store. So there's rows upon rows of jeans and jackets. Dean found a lovely line of ball gowns earlier, didn't you?
I did. And I can promise that I'm not going to take one of them home. It's a beautiful fuchsia pink and it's covered in diamonds. I think it may be going in my suitcase.
I think you should. Have you ever done drag?
Well, funny you should say that, actually.
Oh my God, you got all the photos out last night. I've never seen anything like it.
This would be my idea of heaven. 18-year-old me is going crazy right now.
We had a couple drag queens. You know, the history of Desert AIDS Project is that we had La Dame de Soleil, and they're an old drag group from back in the 80s, and they literally did show after show after show, raising over $1 million to help fund the first building that supported compassionate care right here in the Coachella Valley. And they were recently at an event here at Revivals, and they brought all of these old frocks and shoes and accessories and donated them for Halloween here. So stay with us. You might be able to get a pair.
I love that, because this is better than a thrift store back in the UK. This is where all the LGBT community bring their amazing outfits. So the clothes are much cooler than your general thrift store. And in fact, is it true people actually come here to shop, to go to Coachella Music Festival or to dress for Halloween, is that right?
Yeah, we get a lot of stylists that come here and use it, what they find in photo shoots, and so that brings in a lot of people, especially from LA, when they're in Palm Springs, they come in and shop and style it any way they want. You know, DIY, of course, is a huge trend, both in home decor and fashion.
Wonderful. But the most inspiring thing about this place is that 100% of the profits go to the Desert AIDS Project. Tell us a little bit about that organization, then.
You know, Desert AIDS Project is really unique. It's like a lot of other AIDS service organizations. It started in the 80s as a response when our community was going through a great tragedy. People were losing sons and lovers far too soon. And the community responded by creating this very special place of compassionate care called Desert AIDS Project. Today, Desert AIDS Project continues to use that taproot of compassionate care from the AIDS crisis to expand the types of care it provides. And it is now an integrative space that offers everything from dental care to primary care, HIV specialty care, 12-step meetings. It even has a back-to-work program for people who are aging with HIV and want to go back to work but don't know how. It's completely holistic. And Deepak Chopra recently came for a tour, and I went to a speech that night, and he started by saying, I've seen the future of healthcare, and it's Desert AIDS Project.
So what are the challenges for people today living with HIV in Greater Palm Springs, do you think?
There's two challenges for anyone living with HIV. One is access to affordable health care. You know, you can diagnosis and knowing your status, of course, is the most important, because if you know your status, you can get on the life-saving medication you need to thrive. But for many people, they don't know their status. And so getting access to free and confidential testing is the most important. And then if someone does test positive, making sure they have consistent access to that medication to keep them healthy forever.
Do you have to pay to get tested here in America?
You know, many places you do have to pay to get tested. One of the things that Desert AIDS Project does is free and confidential HIV testing. And we have the only STD clinic in Palm Springs. And so for sexual wellness, if anybody's concerned about potentially catching syphilis or gonorrhea or chlamydia, they can come in and be tested for everything all at once and then also get treated. It is something that many places charge for. We do not. We also have a mobile testing van that goes out to spaces where people can't access healthcare, and we make sure that we're right there where young people are so they can know their status and get the medication if they need it.
Yeah, is PrEP a big thing here as well then at the moment?
PrEP is a big thing, and it's one of the tools in the arsenal of staying well. Obviously, it's an option that all people have, gay or straight, if they feel that they want to access PrEP. We do offer that at Desert AIDS Project, along with any kind of other technique that may be of choice to some people. Some people choose just to use condoms. We also offer PEP, and so we have people who come in, they feel they may have been exposed to the HIV virus, and of course, if they come in within 72 hours, PEP may be an option as well.
Just looking at this place, you would think, gosh, this is just a store. Some people might come in here every day and they might think that this is just a store, but there is so much going on behind the scenes. But for many people, especially the people that work here as well and the volunteers, this must be a bit of a lifeline for them, I would imagine, because they're coming out here, they're giving up their time. Do you feel like a sense of community here in the store?
It's absolutely a sense of community. And, you know, for a lot of our volunteers, they're also clients at Desert AIDS Project. And so for some people, whether it's because they're retired or because they're a client, you know, we all now with social media face the challenges of isolation, and we crave connection. Certainly being a volunteer where you can build meaningful relationships with other volunteers and the community that comes in and shops is a great way to be part of this community and stay well, because connections are a really important part of wellness.
Yeah, it's got a really nice vibe, this shop, hasn't it? If people want to find out more about the Desert AIDS Project, where should they go? Have you got a website?
So we've got all the information on our website, which is revivalsstores.com, or they could go to Desert AIDSproject.org.
So if you're coming to Coachella next year, or if you're coming here for Pride, this is the place to get your outfits.
Absolutely. Right, should we get dressed up?
Come on then. I have seen a beautiful velvet gown. You would look stunning in it, Emma.
Oh, thank you. I can't wait. Oh, hello. It's Emma and Dean in Greater Palm Springs. And we've come out at night to a bar called Toucan Bar. And we've got very special backstage access here.
We have indeed. We've tracked down the girls from RuPaul's Drag Race, and we've been directed to a fantastic, beautiful little bar called Toucans. We're backstage with the gorgeous Mayhem Miller, who seems to have done very well because you've got lots of dollar bills on your dressing room. How was your show tonight?
It was fantastic. The audience was amazing, and it's always like sway in Palm Springs. Always. It's always good.
Well, how often do you come to Palm Springs then?
As often as I possibly can.
Now, kind of seriously, why is that next to a massive pile of $1 bills? Have you been like getting meant to put them in your dress or something?
The men adore me, and they like to adorn me with money.
Oh. Yeah. No, I have. Angina's like she's lying. No, we have to admit something. Emma Goswell here has not actually watched RuPaul's Drag Race.
No, I've seen like one or two episodes,
okay. But
you may not have been on it. So just explain exactly which season you're on and what happened for you.
I am on season 10, and I was the winner. No, I was kidding. I was on season 10. I did not win. I went home fifth. And
we were so shocked to see you go. I remember the episode very well.
Everyone was very shocked. I think that was the gag of the season.
Everyone, the
front runner that everyone knew that was going to go all the way to the end went home very early.
But how's life been since the show? Because obviously this is a massive platform. It changes things for you.
It changes everything. You know, I was already successful as a drag queen before getting on Drag Race. And then now that it's just amplified my exposure to the world. Like, there's more eyes on me than there was before. A lot of people follow Drag Race all over the world, and now Mayhem Miller is a household name for them.
Where's your favorite part of the UK, if you can remember one?
Exactly, because you guys like to drink, and
right?
I fucking love the party, so I like to black out all the time. So you see, I've done a show in London before, and I had a blast. And of course, Morgan has dragged me to Scotland, and I was so happy she did that. because it was a fucking awesome time. I was so drunk, I barely remember that.
So go get ready, collect all those dollar bills. You've done very, very well tonight.
I so need a picture of this. Drag queen getting ready, putting a makeup on because with about $100 bills.
This is the thing, Emma. We don't do tipping in the UK. But these girls really work for their tips. Ongina.
Hi.
She's counting her dollar bills. What are we up to?
I am up to $1,438.
Are you serious?
Fire.
I can't believe
it's all Monopoly money.
This is the most surreal moment of my life. I am backstage with a load of drag queens counting dollar bills. This happens in the UK.
Ongina, how does tipping work? How do you get the perfect tip?
So, we obviously, as performers, Sonique gets on her knees, but as performers, we love the stage, obviously, and this is just like appreciation, love, and extra cash from the audience, and it's kind of customary in the United States to do tipping.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's not like that in the UK. I think I've got
not for drag queens.
No,
maybe for waitresses.
And plus, please don't throw those like dollar coins at me. Do you know what I mean? Like, aren't they dollar?
You don't want a pound coin.
No, yeah. I don't want those. But this is just like appreciation for the from the audience, and I'm truly blessed to be counting. Now I'm up to 1,439.
That's just for tonight.
Ongina, you were on one of the earlier seasons of RuPaul's Drag Race. Yes. How's it been for you since then? Have you seen a change in the way the drag is being performed on there?
I mean, absolutely. In my season, being the very first one, we didn't really know what we walked into the workroom for. We just kind of did our own thing, I guess, and then did what we had to do. But now I think people, you know, find a certain character or a certain type of brand and or persona to, like, put front into the pop culture media or whatever.
Can I just ask, are you sporting a padded ass there?
No, I bought these. No, I'm just kidding. I actually, this is from IKEA. and
I must just say that you are topless, but you are just wearing some interesting tights, and it looks like you've got a padded ass.
Yes.
I might be wrong, I don't know.
No, I mean,
it might be rude to say that to a lady.
No, you can say that to a lady with no titties, but
can I just ask that if you're on season one, do you stay in contact with RuPaul? How does it work?
Oh, no, we're not friends. No. No, hold on. We're not friends, but we're friendly. Like, at drag con, she would come to the booth and be like, hey, Ongina. I used to have a full-time job across the street from the MAC store,
mm-hmm.
and she would come in after she's shopped at the MAC cosmetic store, and she would come into my store where I used to work, and she was like, is Ryan here? Because, you know, she knows my boy name. So it's really sweet. Like, we're not friends. I can't call her and be like, hey, girl, you want to have lunch? Like, no. Are you guys staying?
So, yes.
We are. We can't wait.
We are going to watch the second show now.
We are. Right, girls, go and enjoy yourselves. And we'll be out there waiting for you. Reading
Follow
for
me on Instagram at ONGINA. Thank you.
We're backstage at Tukins here in Palm Springs, which is part of our California road trip. Emma, you've just told me that you've never experienced anything like this before.
No, this is exciting. I feel embarrassed saying this now, watch RuPaul's Drag Race that much, and I'm stood in a room backstage with a load of stars from RuPaul's Drag Race. Would you like to introduce yourself?
I'm Morgan McMichaels from RuPaul's Drag Race Season 2 and All Stars Season 3.
I don't even know where to look in your eyes. There's so much going on. You've got like the biggest eyelashes, top and bottom, and glitter all around it.
I have to. Something about me has to sparkle, and certainly not my personality.
So you actually host tonight here at Tukins. What's the atmosphere like here?
It's always a lot of fun, and there's Palm Springs is a tourist attraction. It's a retirement city, so we have a lot of really cultured people, a lot of world travelers come here. Of course, we have our fabulous Gadio hosts here tonight, and you know, it's a lot of fun because we have people get to see you that never expect to see you because we're kind of tucked in the corner.
Mm. Yeah, but also, I noticed you're doing a show at 8 and a show at 10, and we asked our host why that is, and he said, well, the one at 8 might be for the sort of retirees, for the older gays. Is that
true?
Is that really true?
Well, we definitely cater to an older demographic in the first show.
Yeah.
And people that lived, that were there in the 70s and the 80s originally, uh-huh. you know, and I think that general age, the average age here is about 55, you know, but the second show is definitely catered to a younger, more upbeat crowd because they come out later.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone that comes to the first show is in bed time the second show starts.
Well, I noticed you did say it's time for you to go home for your pudding. That's really cutting, but fun. I like that.
But true.
Tell me this then, because we've been in Palm Springs only for a few days, and
right.
We were out on the scene last night, and we're here at the drag show tonight. Do you see Palm Springs, you know, as a bit of a it's a different place for people to party because it's not like party, is it? It's more of like relaxed, chill vibes. Would you agree with that?
Definitely. Like any club that you go to in Palm Springs is very much just chill. There is one bar that is high energy dance. If Toucans is very chill, it's, we drink and we just have a good time and there's a lot of chat and it's more social.
Yeah.
Chill bar is really fun. A lot of places are a little more engaging in the fetish side.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, it's like Toolbox and stuff like that. Go there.
You don't live here, though, do you? How often do you host it?
I'm here every Sunday, and I've been here every Sunday for 16 years, and I host the third Sunday of the month.
Wow.
You do live here?
No, I live about 45 minutes west of here.
Oh.
But I'm originally actually from Scotland.
Let's talk about that. You're from Alexandria, right?
Huh?
Where's that accent gone?
Oh, it's gone.
You don't sound anything like Nicola Sturgeon.
Marie Black is amazing.
Oh, we love
Marie
Black.
Marie Black.
Yes.
But Nicola Sturgeon has zero idea about what people in Scotland need.
But I don't know, because she gets received very, very well back home.
Yeah.
Do you still have an interest in what's going on back home?
Yes. And, you know, I lived here too long to vote at the referendum. And I would have voted to stay a part of the UK because I believe we're stronger together. And, you know, I just, that's my opinion.
And what about Brexit?
I would have stayed in the EU as well.
We like you. Well, I like you.
Yes. Anyway.
Yeah, I'm a lesbian.
All right, now you're talking.
It's because she's in here with a full face of makeup and a wig on.
I actually do quite fancy drag queens sometimes.
I've lived in America 20 years and I still. I'm so proud to be British. And back home, we're English, Irish, Welsh, or Scottish, and, you know, that's a thing. But in America, we're British.
Mm.
Okay. Oh, because we fly under one flag, and, you know, who's the boss? From one queen to another.
How often do you go back?
I'm home, like, maybe two or three times a year. I get to have the opportunity to go home and work at Katie's in Glasgow or AXM, and I love the Polo Lounge, which is like my old stomping ground, trust
me. Yeah. And I suppose things have changed for me since the show, because you were on season
two.
So most recently All Stars. Tell us how you feel coming off the back of All Stars.
I had a good time, and I think a lot of people in the UK understand my sense of humor and my crass. You know how we are.
Yes,
as a
absolutely.
People. And I think a lot of Americans don't know how to interpret that.
Yeah.
Maybe in the big cities, Miami, New York, like L.A., they get it because they have that same kind of idea.
Mm-hmm.
But in our country, where we come from, it's cut and dry, and you're cutting. But I think a lot of Americans like to sugarcoat some things. And I love my American people, but I feel like my sense of humor is definitely understood by my British people.
And
way more.
And even though you went out first, you got to perform one of your original songs. Can we see some more music coming from you?
Well, I did Why You Mad, though, on the show. I released that version as a half single, whatever. Angina calls it a half single. But then I have another song called Yes, Bitch. And it was released for RuPaul's Drag Con LA. And it's done quite well, actually. So I think I'm going to do a couple of more things.
You should, absolutely. And I hear you've been in some rather high-profile music videos as well. Is that
right? Yes. I was in Lady Gaga's Applause video. She came to the club up in LA. And I was in Rihanna's music video for S&M. It was a lot of fun. I've had a lot of fun. And I just, you know, you never forget where you come from. And I'm always British, and that's just me.
Did you meet Lady Gaga as well?
I have met her on more than one occasion. I actually used to do a show with Dolly Levi in Irvine, and she came to do her first single. She did a club tour.
Ah.
So I got to introduce her on stage, and I've known her for years. She's the loveliest person.
Do you know what, Morgan? It's so, so refreshing, because lots and lots of the queens from the early seasons kind of drop off the end of the radar for one reason or another, but you have stuck at it against quite a lot of criticism over the years, but it seems to me that the people that love you absolutely adore you. Do you feel that?
Well, I feel like with Morgan, it's black or white. You either love me or you hate me. There's no middle ground with Morgan McMichaels. And, you know, if you love me, I love you as well. And if you...
So what's this about your lesbian tendencies then?
Right. So I'm completely a lesbian.
I'm going to leave you two too. Listen. We're going to
be a marriage before the end of the show. You know how lesbians are. We'll be married with seven cats.
Come on, let's go.
All right, then. Brilliant. Listen, we're going to go take our front row seats. Shari with all of us. Thank you for chatting with us again.
Thank you so much, Gideon. I love you guys very, very much, and I hope you have a great holiday here.
It's Emma and Dean on Gaydio, the beat of Gay UK, and we are departing out of the fabulous Palm Springs.
Yes, I really hope you've enjoyed listening to our adventures as much as we've enjoyed carrying them out. What a fantastic city. I would so love to come back, maybe when it's not quite 40 degrees.
It was very, very hot. It really was.
I think my top tip would be come in November for Pride, or maybe April for the Dinosaur Lesbian Festival. I mean, there's so many other times of the year. People don't come to Palm Springs in the summer, do they?
That's right. But if you can stick the heat, it really is a sort of 365-day-a-year holiday for many, many people. And the great thing about Palm Springs and Greater Palm Springs is that there is so much to offer in the desert. You just wouldn't believe the things that you can do.
Yeah, because you just think of Palm Springs being Palm Springs. It is 9 different cities, one oasis. That's their line. So we were lucky enough to actually drive out a bit, weren't we? So when we went to do the Vino and Vinyasa yoga, we drove out to another of these cities, which is actually called Indian Wells. That's where we went to the Hyatt Regency.
Yeah, that's right. Now, most of you will know Palm Springs because of Coachella, which actually, a bit of a secret for you, it's not even in Coachella, it's in a place called Indio. But we didn't quite make it out as far there, but many people, when they come to Coachella, they'll stay in Palm Springs and they'll make their way out there.
Yeah, but we also went to Palm Desert and other cities, and it was from there that we departed on the desert tour. And I have to say, I think that was one of my highlights, actually. Yeah. I always feel a real affinity with deserts, and I just love being in that dry heat. Blimey, it was scorchio, wasn't it? But it was just fascinating, and Bob was so passionate, wasn't he?
Yes.
From Red Jeep Tours.
You can't come here and not do that, really.
No, exactly, because you've got to understand the geology of where you are, and it's really, geologically speaking, California is very significant. You've got the San Andreas Fault, and if you do that tour, you actually get to be on the fault line and see exactly where it is and learn all about the tectonic plates and the earthquakes. Yeah. And I just found that fascinating.
It's a nice escape, actually, because, you know, if you're coming here to party, you know, you must take yourself out for the afternoon or for the evening and go and watch the sunset, because it really is, there's just no atmosphere. It's just peace and quiet. You can be there with your thoughts. A massive highlight for me was being backstage at Tookins with the girls from RuPaul's Drag Race. It was just so lovely to see them out of drag, sitting, chilling, chatting, and actually, you know, earning their bread and butter, you know, because we see them as these big glamorous drag queens, but sometimes it's just nice to sit backstage and have a chat.
We literally saw them collecting their bread and butter and counting their dollar bills, didn't we?
We put
them into buckets. It was totally surreal.
Yep.
So what I like about Palm Springs, it is quite a party town. There is a big gay scene.
A huge.
Very, very LGBT friendly. Loads of different bars and clubs to go to. But then also there's that sense that you can just really chill out, actually.
Yes.
And we didn't do enough of it. We didn't have enough pool time, but I did have a dip in that pool this morning. Oh my goodness me.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
It's definitely the kind of place where you just want to go relax beside the pool and do absolutely nothing.